In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
And we have grabbed him out of his sleep. He's still in his slippers, but hey, Adam, it's Friday. Field trip day.
Field trip day. I am here. We are here for the field trip. I'm sorry to say, though, my children ate all the snacks. So it's going to be a fasting Friday field trip day.
Okay.
Yeah, but thank you for wearing the good robe as you came to the front door. That's really good.
That's right.
So fancy. Thank you so much, Adam.
That's right. It's what do you call it? Not plaid. Flannel. That's the word
flannel.
I'm looking for.
Yeah, flannel. But the pattern looks very tartan if you go for the Irish look at it.
Exactly. As you get older, sometimes you reach for a word in your mind and it's just not there. And you're like Wile E. Coyote falling off a cliff, you know? So flannel.
That's a great
My
way
brain
to
couldn't
describe
find
it.
The word.
Hey, well, we've got to jump in here and find out what some of these movies are that we can maybe see this weekend and what your take is on them. And one of them is Someone Like You.
Yeah. This is a movie based on a Karen Kingsbury novel. I'm guessing you have tons of listeners who are familiar with Karen Kingsbury.
Yes.
I had a chance to interview her a couple weeks ago. I was doing some prep, learning more about her. I mean, I knew who she was, but I wasn't like, you know, a fanboy per se. She's written 98 books.
What?
She's done more work in her life than all of us put together, I think.
Oh my goodness.
Not to denigrate you or me, but I was impressed by that. I have contributed to one book and that felt like a lot. So she's a very busy person. She tends to write historical stuff and stuff that I would broadly categorize in the, you know, romance kind of genre. And Someone Like You is definitely in that kind of place. Although I would say, unlike your typical Hallmark movie, even though it has a little bit of that vibe, it pushes a lot deeper into themes of faith and family and forgiveness. And this is really the story about a guy named Dawson Gage. Dawson's in his late 20s. He's grown up with a beautiful young woman named London. And London Quinn is his bestie. He, of course, is in love with her. Everybody knows he's in love with her. I think she kind of knows it, but she's not been in love with him. And she's kind of coming around. And then, wouldn't you know it, she gets hit by a truck. I mean, these are the things that happen. And lest anybody think I'm spoiling the movie, A, it's in the trailer about 10 seconds in, and B, it's about 5 minutes into the movie.
Oh.
So Dawson is grieving with London's parents, and they mentioned that she was an in vitro baby and that there was another embryo that they donated and agreed never to seek information on. Well, Dawson didn't make that agreement. Dawson is trying to get closure. And he's like, London has a sibling. I have to find this person. And wouldn't you know it, again, it's a girl named Andy. And she's a couple years younger. But she looks a heck of a lot like London, in part because she's played by the same actress. Spoiler warning. And, you know, at first he's drawn to her because she reminds him of this, you know, woman that he's loved his entire life. But it really is about him learning to love her for who she is. And when Andy finds out that she was a donated embryo, which her parents have never had the courage to tell her, it causes a massive rift in their family and estrangement. And so that's one of the themes of forgiveness and really giving our kids space to work through their own journey come into play. And other than the accident that I described almost like a dark joke, and it doesn't feel that way in the movie. It's horrible. There's really no content here to speak of. This is a PG movie, and Karen herself said this is a story pretty much anybody can watch. You know, some people may be more drawn to it than others. I confess I have watched my fair share of Hallmark movies over the years, so I know how it works.
Okay. Yeah. And so, Adam, let me ask you this. We had an opportunity to chat with Karen, and this was produced by her own company, right? And so,
yeah,
and totally. So she did that. She was really excited about it. When we talked to her, she was actually doing strings. You know, they were adding soundtrack to it at that moment as they were preparing for this film. So it was, I think, last fall that we were chatting with her about it. But let me go ahead and ask you this. There are people that absolutely love Karen Kingsbury books. My daughter is one of them. She can't get enough of these books. Is this a true representation of her work, or is it one of those things where it kind of loses a little bit on film because you can't go into such great depth like she normally does?
Well, I'm going to give a wiggle room answer here. Having not read that book, not having read any of Karen's books, let's just do a full confession. I don't know that I can answer the question. I know that Karen herself has been intimately involved with the production of this movie. I mean, this is a passion project. It's a Fathom Events release. It's in theaters for 10 days. So if you want to see it, go see it this weekend. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Her level of enthusiasm for this movie has been huge. And I think her direct involvement in it really speaks to, I don't think fans of her work are going to be disappointed. It's actually a little bit different than The Baxters, which is a new series on Amazon Prime, also based on her characters. And Roma Downey has really been driving that. Karen's had a little bit more distance from that story than someone like you. But it's like all Karen Kingsbury all the time right now. If you are a fan, you can find her on Amazon and you can find her in theaters.
Oh, wow.
It's really her time. You know, I feel
it's her time.
It's her time. She's been writing
books. She's amazing.
She is.
She's such a really, really lovely person. And it was so refreshing just to interact with her. I wish her the best with both of those projects.
Adam, walk us through this. Tell us a little bit about this Netflix series called Testament, The Story of Moses.
Yeah, this is a new series on Netflix, as you mentioned. And it really is a documentary series in, you know, exactly what you think documentary usually is. So you have all kinds of different experts and theologians and historians basically unpacking the story of Exodus. And then that is interspersed with dramatizations. You know, a lot of documentaries will have dramatizations of the stories that they're talking about. And I would say this one is not necessarily coming from a Christian perspective per se, or even strictly a Jewish perspective. They've got people weighing in on this story, you know, who have a Muslim background, some atheists, some Christians, some Jewish folks talking about, you know, the Midrash, which is sort of a commentary on the Old Testament. And so I think it's, if you have an interest in Moses' story in scripture, there's a lot here that you would say, oh, that's pretty interesting. There are some things you're going to say, oh, that doesn't line up with the biblical story at all. And there's just going to be other moments where I think you realize, wow, I've never thought about that. So I think for mature believers, there's an opportunity to have maybe a conversation starter. I think if you have somebody young in the faith, anytime you get a sort of an analysis of a chunk of scripture that's coming from all kinds of different perspectives. You know, if you got younger children, you don't probably want to watch this with them anyway, because there's some violence in it. Moses' story, you know, it's a kind of a violent story. Mm. In fact, much of the Old Testament is a violent story. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if that is an interest and you like documentaries, there might be some things to really, you know, to consider here that could be a great conversation starter.
It's interesting. I hadn't thought of something like this, taking in all those other voices, other religions, perspectives, that could be a conversation starter, even though it may be a little different for us typically in how we're thinking of how that should be depicted.
Well, and I think unfortunately in our culture, one of the things that has happened with the division of church and state is our kids don't get any education at all in comparative religion. Mm. And religion plays such a huge role in history and in our culture and in the moment. You know, how do you understand what's going on in the Middle East right now without a historical understanding of the conflict between Jews and Palestinians that stretches back literally 6,000 years? This is a 6,000-year-old story, and we're trying to make sense of it right now. And so I do think that things like this have a value of helping us to see, oh, different traditions come at this different ways. And I think there's real value in understanding other people's perspectives, not, you know, for the point of saying, well, your truth is great and my truth is great, not, you know, going all postmodern, but just being able to have respect for other people's stories and the ability to engage in those stories meaningfully, I think, unfortunately, is kind of a lost art in our culture right now. And I think it's really important for our kids. So I ended up getting a religion degree from a secular university. So my experience there was a really positive one and it shaped my perspective. Let's talk about it. There's nothing to be afraid of here.